Welcome to Vaginas, Vulvas, and Vibrators with Jordan Donnell. This is a safe place to learn about women's health and sexual wellness. I'm your host, Jordan Donnell, physician assistant, women's sexual health educator, and intimacy coach. On today's podcast, we have a special guest joining us to talk all about Tantra. What is Tantra? What are some of the benefits? Why you should incorporate Tantra into your life, and so much more. We even talk about where to begin if this is something you would like to explore. This episode is super hot. Before we get into today's episode, I want to tell you about my sexy box. If you've been following along, you know that my quarterly subscription box, the Sexy Box, comes out every couple of months. And in this box, there's over $100 worth of top pure romance products. This sexy box is super fun and a great way to spice things up. If you want to get your sexy box and have that come to your door here in the next couple of weeks, check out the link in the bio to sign up for your quarterly subscription box. Joining me today is Devi Edward Erickson. She is the founder of the Institute of Authentic Tantra Education, the first and only government-accredited professional training institute using the Tibetan five-element tantric practices for holistic sexual healing. Devi is an ACS-certified sexologist, certified tantric healer, certified Reiki practitioner, certified meditation instructor, and has been teaching meditation and personal growth workshops for over 20 years. Devi is an author and the host of Sex is Medicine with Devi Howard podcast on iTunes and TuneIn.com. She has been featured as a tantric healing expert in countless articles and over 30 different radio and television networks worldwide, including Playboy Radio, Men's Health Magazine, CBS, NBC, and Rogers TV. She was also featured in the movie Sexology with Gabrielle Anwar and Katherine Oxenberg. I am so excited to have her as a guest with me today to talk all about Tantra and share her wealth of knowledge with us. Devi, would you like to go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yes, so I am Devi Ward Erickson, and I am the founder of the first and only government-accredited school for tantric sexual healing in the world. And I understand more and more every time we have to go through our recertification process why other people haven't done this too, because it's a lot of bureaucracy. But it's so worth it. It's so worth it to have that credibility and that accountability in this very unregulated field. I've been practicing and teaching Tantra for 13 years. Before that, I was a monk of the Ashaya order for almost a decade. And before that, I was a stripper in Detroit. So I've had a varied and colorful history.
I did see that on your bio, and I love all of that about you, which is super awesome. What is Tantra?
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question, isn't it? The first thing to understand about Tantra is that there are a variety of different lineages and different approaches to Tantra. So it's a mistake to use Tantra as an umbrella term to just say, oh, I practice Tantra. In traditional Tantra, what we offer people when we're communicating about our Tantra practices, we often refer to the lineage that we practice under and our teacher. Our guru, so to speak. What most people think of Tantra in the West is actually a bastardization of these ancient spiritual techniques. And it's a direct result of colonialism. And I like to say white supremacy as well, because that was the whole root of colonialism, right? So Neo-Tantra, what most people think of as Tantra in the West, is rooted in colonialism and white supremacy. And I think that that industry is just coming to reckon with that in this day and time. But in short, Tantra traditionally is an ancient spiritual science that was developed in India several thousand years ago. And depending on the area of India you were from and depending on the region, that would determine the specific methods and instructions and theology that you practiced under the umbrella of Tantra. I'm specifically trained in Tibetan Buddhist Tantra, so I know next to, I know very little about Indian Tantra. I know where Tantra came from for the purpose of understanding Tantric Buddhism. So Tibetan-based Tantra was developed in Tibet in about between the 7th and the 11th century. Was really the heyday of the weaving of Buddhism with the indigenous teachings of the people of Tibet. And so Tibetan Buddhist Tantra is a beautiful blend of the Bon tradition, which were the spiritual shamanistic teachings from the Buddha 17,000 years ago before the current Buddha. There's been several Buddhas already, and there will be at least seven more on this planet, according to the legends or according to the scriptures and texts. So the indigenous people of Tibet were practicing Bon, which is a shamanistic tradition about how to basically live in balance with your environment, how to work with the elemental energies, how to communicate with spirits and the environment to support health and healing. And then, as I said, between the 7th and 10th, 11th centuries, when Buddhism really began developing, or I'm going to use the word infiltrating Tibet, and then merging and weaving with the Bon traditions at that time. So Tibetan Tantric Buddhism is a very unique expression in the realm of Tantra.
So what is the goal of Tantra?
Well, again, that depends on your lineage and your tradition. So in our tradition, we practice Tantra for the purpose of healing the root cause of all suffering and realizing our ultimate nature, which is joy, openness, bliss, peace, connection, and the understanding and the realization of our immortal nature. So ultimately, the goal of Tantra is to achieve and realize Buddhahood. That's the ultimate goal. And along the way, we get to have lots of fun. So with Tantra, we incorporate every aspect of our life into our spiritual practice to use it as fuel or medicine or as a tool for realization, as a mirror to reflect where our wounds are, where we still have areas to grow. Yeah, so the ultimate goal of Tantra in our tradition is the realization of enlightenment.
Okay, so within like the Buddhist Tantra, are there different types of Tantra? Like, is there sex Tantra versus other kinds?
Absolutely. So that's a great question. So absolutely. Under the umbrella of Tantra, there are sexual methods and there are non-sexual methods. And our tradition, the way we define the word Tantra, there's many different ways of defining the word even within one tradition. But one of the very specific ways that we define the word Tantra is pointing to a specific yogic practice. And that is a practice of weaving light and sound with form. So form is the body, light is visualization, and sound is mantra. And so by doing this practice of visualizing and chanting specific mantras and doing specific visualizations that came from the mind of the Buddha and, you know, were given to us to practice, it stimulates different hormones and different secretions in the brain. It helps rewire neural pathways in the brain. And it helps, I haven't seen documentation for this, but I truly believe that helps us access areas of our brain that we don't commonly have access to. So yeah, so this is the actual yogic practice of Tantra, weaving light and sound with form. So in our practice, we do that. We develop our capacity to visualize and chant and be present non-sexually. And then after a certain level of ability to do this has been achieved, then we layer that onto the sexual practices. So those are like the energy body yogas. That's how we refer to them. On a very simple somatic level, included in Tantra, are breathing practices that work. Now we know the science behind it are yogic breathing practices that help re-regulate the nervous system, soothe the nervous system, and produce a balanced autonomic nervous system, which we understand is the gateway to transcendent states of consciousness. You can't access your Buddha nature if you're in fight or flight or freeze response, right? So you have to have a balanced, regulated autonomic nervous system. So the more I learn, the more I kind of translate these Eastern methods onto Western science, the more I realize that so much of the physical Tantra practices, the physical yoga practices are really all about just regulating the nervous system.
That is so interesting, like how all that works. Why would somebody decide or choose to incorporate Tantra in their daily routine or their life?
Yeah. So a lot of the people that we work with come to us for healing. Tantra is medicine. And that's one of the things that I so love about my Buddhist Lama is he's not a monk. He's not celibate. He doesn't wear monastic robes. He's a lay person. He's like an everyday guy who just happens to, you know, also be a very spiritually realized human being. And so Tantra is really about how do we live in this world from a place of peace and balance, openness, joy, and connection. And we understand that our true nature is all of these qualities. Like we are born perfect. We are born whole. We are born complete. But a lot of our conditioning in this culture obscures that. And not to mention, not just our culture, not to mention all the trauma that we experience. I myself am a survivor of sexual abuse, physical abuse, emotional abuse, and racial violence growing up. So all of these painful and traumatic experiences work to obscure and disconnect us from our ultimate nature. So Tantra is really a set of tools and methods that help release, you know, by regulating the nervous system and practicing somatic healing methods, we release the stuff that's stored in our body. We release the pain, we release the story, we release those wounds, and then we are reconnected with our true nature, our base nature of, again, love, connection, peace, bliss, and joy is what we get to experience most of the time as opposed to our suffering. So it's very practical. It's very like if you have any kind of suffering in your life, if you suffer from incessant thoughts like so many people do, if you suffer from anxiety or emotional disturbances, if you suffer from sexual abuse or any kind of trauma, Tantra is an incredible method and tool for healing all of those issues and, again, restoring your inherent sense of joy. Because when we were little children, before all of this trauma, we lived in joy. You know, I remember being a kid and I couldn't wait to get up in the morning on the weekends and go out and play all day. And I couldn't believe the adults were still in bed. I'm like, what's wrong with you? We have a whole day to play, right? And we lose that as we mature in this society because we're overwhelmed, I believe, with so much of the crap, you know, the awful of this current society, which is so disassociated and so disconnected from our humanity. So Tantra is a way, simple terms, I keep answering this, but I'm going to say it again. Tantra is a way of restoring our humanity. That's it. That's a good soundbite.
Beautiful. It sounds like everybody really would benefit from practicing Tantra.
Absolutely. And again, it depends on the style that you practice. Now, I will say that Neo-Tantra is rooted in colonialism, and there's some really wonderful stuff that's come out of Neo-Tantra. And there's many, many people that are really drawn to that style of Tantra. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just important to understand its roots, in my opinion. But in terms of Tantra in general, yes, for the people who are drawn to it, it is profoundly healing and profoundly connected. And again, that is how we reconnect and reestablish, re-anchor ourselves in our humanity.
Love it. So I really want to talk about tantric sex in particular. What is that?
Yeah. So I will tell you what I teach again, because it may be different for different people. So when it comes to tantric sex, the highest level of tantric sexual practice is doing energy body yoga while you are in full sexual union or as a solo practice. And so that's energy body yoga where you're actively harnessing your sexual energy and directing it through these energy body yoga practices through your energy body to heal, to repair, to enrich, to transform. So that is the highest expression of tantric sex. And we have to build up our capacity to get there because it doesn't happen overnight. We have to build up our resiliency throughout different stages. And so where we start with tantric sex is really just getting connected with the body through the breath. So again, if we think about the society and how disconnected we are taught to be from our genitals. So you have a podcast about vulvas and vaginas and vibrators, right? So how many women are terrified of touching their vulvas? How many women are terrified of putting something inside their vagina? I totally was. Like when I started Tantra, I didn't know what my G-spot was. I, you know, if I masturbated, I did it like with a finger on my clit for as quickly and fastly as I could, as quickly as I could and as silently as I could. And I considered my vagina my male partner's territory. That wasn't my vagina. That was basically his vagina. So we are so disconnected from our own bodies. How can we realize God and not, you know, have and be completely disassociated from the waist down? So the first step is integrating our genitals back into our awareness and making friends with our body, coming to peace with our body. And just that process of using the breath to connect with the body, like deep, full, using our full lung capacity, deep, full, present breathing, just that alone is going to catalyze the release of everything that's been preventing us from being that present and anchored in our bodies. So that's the first step. Then we also teach mindfulness practices for self-pleasuring. Again, for doing high-level energy body yoga, you have to be present in your body and you have to be able to relax with sensation. Because the goal of Tantra is not orgasm. The goal of Tantra is ultimate bliss, but ultimate bliss doesn't happen like a flash in a pan. It's not the same as a climax. It's not like a genital sneeze. Bliss is a state of consciousness that we can reach and we can hang out there. And that bliss consciousness begins to permeate every area of your life. The more time you spend basking in this bliss consciousness, the more that will translate and infuse your everyday activity. So that's why tantric sex is so, when you're doing high-level tantric sex, it's so desirable to do that, because it literally translates your mundane experience into a magical fairyland. So again, getting to that point, we do somatic practices, touch, breath, and awareness, mindfulness, mindful pleasuring techniques. We have our own branded names for those, like orgasmic awareness practice and sacred solo self-pleasure practice. Our focus with Tantra, the way we generally teach, is to the individual. So even if you're in a partnership, our sexual healing begins with ourselves. Right? We can't expect our partner to be our healer or to do all the work for us. So we really encourage people to take it on for themselves, to start building their capacity for being present and relaxing with sensation and exploring the nuances and the buffet of pleasurable sensations that we have access to as human beings. We really recommend people doing that individually. And then that's something that you can learn to share together as a partner.
Absolutely. Yes. I just taught a course this weekend for a lady out in the UK. And that's exactly what I was talking about at the beginning. Like at the beginning, I was telling, you know, you really have to work on what do you like first, because you can't explain that to a partner if you have no clue what feels good for you.
Yeah. Well, and again, I mean, in partner sex, it's high intensity. I mean, there's so much pressure. There's societal pressure. There's our own pressure about our performance. There's their pressure. And there's this unspoken rule that you're not supposed to talk about what's going on and you're not supposed to give feedback and like all these unwritten rules, and everyone's just supposed to know what's going on. And I remember it's like literally fumbling around in the dark, trying to figure shit out. Oh, pardon me, trying to figure stuff out. Yeah. And so it's a lot of pressure to try to explore and awaken your sexuality with another person when you haven't even connected with your own body. Yeah. It's an unrealistic expectation.
It really is. Now, is edging a part of the tantric sex that you teach?
We have a different technique. So Western edging, I'm guessing that it's a Western interpretation of a Eastern practice. Hold on one second. And I think that the way people teach edging is different. When I was exposed to edging, my main issue with it is that it has no instruction about using the breath. So if you're just stimulating and stopping and stimulating and stopping, you're building tension, but you're not relaxing with sensation. You're not expanding your capacity for pleasure. Like the breath is an integral aspect of any yogic practice, because when we breathe, we're moving energy. The process of breathing is we're moving energy. It becomes this kind of like inhaling and exhaling. It becomes a dance of union. And as we exhale and release and open, release any constriction or contraction in the body, we literally are expanding our capacity for holding pleasurable sensation. So the results that I've seen from edging are not as incredible as the results I've seen from the yogic practices that we teach, which do incorporate the breath. So the technique of stimulating up to a certain peak and then relaxing there and not going over the edge, so to speak, that technique would be congruent with Western edging. But what we weave into that is the breath and mindfulness. And then again, our orientation and our motivation is very different. We are not seeking the goal of orgasm. It's literally a mindfulness practice. We call it orgasmic awareness practice because we're just cultivating the ability to witness and be present with sensation in the body and build a pleasurable charge in the body without grasping or seeking or attachment to outcome.
Now, with tantric sex, is tantric sex have anything to do with like a sex magic routine or sex magic ritual? Are those similar at all?
Again, there's so many different sex magic rituals. So because I'm like deeply embedded in the field and I've sat and received observed teachings from other people, and it's so varied. So so it depends on the practice that the person is teaching. It may be influenced. In our tradition, from our point of view, there are a variety of non-sexual tantric rituals that we use and we engage in to manifest and to call into our lives that which we want to experience. And they're rooted in traditional tantric Buddhism. So they're tantric, they're ritualistic tantric practice, non-sexual tantric practices. So there's that. That's usually how we work with it. When it comes to sexual yoga practices, most people that I've heard talk about sex magic talk about building an orgasmic charge. And then at that peak of orgasm, blasting that out to manifest their desire. So holding like, I want a brand new Toyota, whatever, in your mind as you have an orgasm, and then that helps manifest it. And that may or may not be effective for people. What we do in our practice is more along the lines of we're running energy through our own bodies and through each other's bodies for healing. And the last time I was doing sexual yoga with my partner last week, it was pretty amazing because I hit this peak of bliss and was just like flying in this state of orgasm. And in that moment of spacious awareness, the intention that I dropped in there was the mantra Om Mani Padme Hum, which is the mantra of loving kindness and compassion for all beings. So that was what I dropped into that clear, open space in that moment. So to answer your question, generally, again, in our tradition, the motivation for a tantra yoga practice is not about getting something material in our life. It's really about sharing that energy for the benefit of all humanity, right? So that may not be super fun for some people, but that's our ultimate motivation as tantra Buddhists, is everything about our practice is to benefit humanity.
Okay. I love that. And I love the approach to healing yourself and others. I think that's wonderful. Do you find that tantric sex leads to deeper connections with your partner?
Oh, absolutely. And here's the thing. You have to build up to that point. So like when I was talking about like flying in this orgasmic state of bliss, that's like with my husband, we've been practicing together for 7 years, right? In the beginning, like you have to work in stages. Again, you have to build your capacity for that. So when we're teaching tantra to ordinary people who aren't necessarily, this isn't their spiritual path in life, but they just want to connect more deeply, we start with tantric union breathing practices, which is a way of using mindful breathing to entrain the nervous systems. So I love this part. So it's clinically proven. You probably know this. You know about entrainment, I'm guessing, that when two or more people breathe together at the same rate and the same pace, their heartbeats will literally synchronize. That's amazing. And then if you're touching each other when you do that, your brain waves will synchronize. So human beings are wired for connection, like literally, physiologically. And we can use our breath regulating, use our individual breath and harmonizing our breath to not only regulate our nervous systems, but also to harmonize our heartbeats and harmonize our brainwave patterns. So to literally entrain and synchronize our nervous systems. That is amazing. So we teach couples how to do that before sex even enters the picture. Imagine making love with your autonomic nervous systems in unison. That's where, you know, when people talk about they want this, like they want their partner to just know what they need to do next and know how to touch them. Well, it doesn't come when your nervous systems are all freaking out, you know, and you're in your head thinking about this thing and he's in his head thinking about this thing or she's, when you're on different pages, that kind of union doesn't occur. So in tantric sex, when we're focusing on that, we focus specifically on cultivating non-sexual connection and then building upon that to add the fun, freaky sex techniques.
Yes, I love that. What are some of the benefits of tantra?
Yeah, so every aspect of your life. So I'll speak for myself, not to be super narcissistic, but you know, I'm my favorite lab rat. Lab rat, I'm my favorite lab rat. And I my students tend to echo my own experience as well. So for me, when I started this journey of tantra, I was depressed. I was stifled. As I mentioned, I have a history of very extensive abuse, and talk therapy is not the same as somatic healing. So I had some therapy about it, but I was still caught in these patterns of unresolved trauma in my nervous system. I had a suicide attempt in my early 20s, which was actually the beginning of my spiritual journey to try to find a way to live in my body without agonizing emotional and mental affliction. And so I was still very much caught in the grasp of my own unresolved and unhealed trauma. So for me, Tantra has allowed me to live, to be an expressive, connective, joyful, beneficial, empowered human being. So I experience peace, like honestly, so much for the most part, inner peace, even when I'm having funky days. Like today I got some news from something and I was like, "Rrr." And even in the midst of that, I could totally feel the "Rrr." But underneath that is just this anchor of kind of amusement. Like, hey, you know, like this stuff is going on and it's frustrating and it's, you know, but it's just part of life. It's not this like, oh, life is trying to, you know, cut my head off and kill me and mutilate me, right? It's not this huge, overwhelming emotional suffering. So alleviating suffering, establishing a strong sense of self, feeling connection to ourselves, to each other, to our community, to our God, feeling a connection to our environment. Also, many of our students report having shamanistic abilities awaken, which is very appropriate because this lineage is a very shamanistic lineage. So some of our students who may have had dormant psychic or shamanistic abilities arise, like the ability to commune with things that they can't see, the ability to communicate with the elements and the elemental world. Some of those begin to arise and manifest. And when it comes to couples, oh my God, so much depth and enrichment. It's like people talk about like, how do I get the spark back in my relationship? And the reality is you never get that new relationship energy back again, right? It's the chemicals and the hormones that are produced in the body from that when you first connect. And those last a certain amount of time, and then they're done. They've outlived their usefulness. They're there for humans to bond, connect, and reproduce. But with Tantra, that passion, that excitement, that feeling of newness arises again in a different, more mature way. So instead of it being this very like bolt of lightning, it's more like this really warm, delicious, fragrant soup. If I could describe it that way, that you get to eat for the rest of your life. And it's like a bottomless cauldron. It never goes away. You can continue to add to it and deepen it, enrichen it, and flavor it up, but it's always there. It's sustainable. And I think that's one of the most valuable things in relationship is having a sustainable, passionate connection. Not necessarily fiery, I want to rip my clothes off when you walk in the door, though that happens sometimes, but an ongoing, sustainable, deepening, intimate connection. And Tantra gives us the tools to cultivate that because it's something we have to practice. It's something we have to do. It's not you do it once and you're done. It's yoga, and yoga helps us develop our discipline and develop our practice. But once that's developed, it helps us maintain our mastery.
Now, if somebody wants to start doing Tantra, how do they incorporate that into their life? Like, where do they begin?
Yeah. Well, there's a variety of different resources. If you're interested in learning this particular style of Tantra, we offer coaching programs for exactly that. We have video programs for people that want to self-study and kind of dip their toe in. Our favorite is really working with people in depth. We have a 4-month long personal coaching program. And this is for people who really want to dive deeply into Tantra as a path of holistic healing. And through that process, we instruct you in each of the methods and support you in developing your own Tantra yoga practice, because again, this is a practice. And so it's not like you have to be hardcore every day, but the beauty of Tantra is that it's a pleasurable practice. Like our homework is go for a walk and connect with nature, or meditate for 20 minutes. I mean, it's all about really enriching our connection with ourselves and our world. So that's enjoyable. That's pleasurable, or at least it is for me and our students. So those are some of the ways we offer to learn Tantra. We also have free eBooks on our website. We have tons of free content. I wrote a book called Shake Your Soul Song, A Woman's Guide to Self-Empowerment Through the Art of Self-Pleasure, which outlines my tantric sexual healing practice and the effects that it had on me and how to go by it step by step. And so that's what we teach. But if you're wanting if you're wanting a different style of Tantra, I really recommend working with someone to really learn Tantra. Just like Hatha Yoga or Bikram Yoga, you can't really learn that from reading a book. You can learn about it, you know, and you can kind of get an approximation of some of the positions and asanas and all that, but you don't really grok the essence of yoga unless you are actually practicing with an empowered instructor, an empowered teacher. And so that's really what I recommend for people who are curious about Tantra is just research like you did, you know, research, see who resonates, see who lands and see, you know, trust the way your body responds to them. If you look at them and you're like, oh yes, then move towards that. If you look at them and you're like, no, then trust that. That's your intuition, right? And there's so many different Tantra teachers out here in North America that I'm guaranteed you will find someone that you resonate with.
Yes. And coaching is wonderful. It took me until the later years of my 20s to realize that, but coaching is the way to go. If you want to learn something, if you want to grow in any area, having somebody to help guide you makes a world of a difference.
Yeah. Someone who's done it and can, you know, walk you through and knows the kind of stuff that will arise and can mirror to you and reframe to you. That's a lot of what we do in our work initially, because most of us come into any coaching program, A, with this expectation that we're, you know, we have to be perfect, and B, not really understanding the whole process of particularly when it comes to healing. And so in Tantra, very often when we are encountering and something that needs to be healed and released, it may feel bad when it arises. It may be painful. You may cry. So instead of these great orgasms, you're crying. And so I actually had one student, she had been assigned her orgasmic awareness practice, and she called me the next day crying. I was like, oh, I failed because I touched myself and I cried for 20 minutes. And I'm like, that's awesome. Like, congratulations. That sounds like such a successful practice. But for her, in her mind, she thought the goal, she was supposed to be having this great orgasm. And from my point of view as the instructor, I'm like, no, like that comes later. Like first we have to get through all the stuff, right? And the fact that you touched yourself and all of that arose instantly is amazing. That's a testament to the power of your own healing, right? So just that shift, because I've done this and I know the drill and I know what healing looks like, I can offer that reassurance and that guidance that you are actually on the right track, even though it may not look like it to you, you are actually achieving your goal. You're actually in process.
Yes, I love that. So are there any particular resources that you would recommend? I know definitely your website. I'm going to link to your website and a lot of your resources. Are there any other resources that you kind of have out there?
Yeah, so that's a great question. So in terms of actually learning about Tantric Buddhism, I really recommend our Lama Tashi Dundrup. He's at kawaiidharma.org, and he hosts free Zoom Dharma classes from 6 to 8 p.m. Hawaii time, which is 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific time right now. And he just offers them for free for people who are interested in learning Tantric Buddhism. And he does not teach any sexual practices. It's only the non-sexual lineage-based practices. For people that are drawn to that, that is an incredible resource. As far as other, so I recommend our graduates. graduates from our training program, which is on our website, AuthenticTantra.com, on our certified practitioners page. I recommend those. When it comes to resources in terms of Tantra, I'm very, very focused on our modality that we practice and teach. So I don't, specifically with Tantra, I don't necessarily have other resources in that realm. A lot of my reading is really about understanding trauma and somatic healing. So, you know, my book, Healing Developmental Trauma, is one of my favorite books about trauma. Peter Levine's work, I highly recommend. The Body Keeps the Score by Bessel van, I can't remember his last name off the top of my head. So those are all resources that I use to cultivate my understanding of the body and somatic healing. And let's see, something else was coming to me. Oh, for people that are interested, yes, there are a couple other resources that aren't tantric. So that's the thing. So they're not tantric, but they are in the field of sexual healing and cultivating mindfulness. The work of Betty Martin, Wheel of Consent, incredible, phenomenal, groundbreaking, seminal work. Love that. And then in terms of somatic sexual healing, Rahi Chun, who is the founder of Somatic Sexual Wholeness. I believe that's even his URL website. He's an incredible somatic sexual healer. He's like one of the most highly trained practitioners that I've ever encountered. He's got training in Taoism and he's got roots in Tantra. He's got roots all over the place. And he's just an incredibly profound and compassionate and beneficial human being. So off the top of my head, those are some people that I would refer or recommend. If you're interested in learning about somatic sexual healing, which doesn't necessarily have the spiritual component, but is very much like a Western orientation to just understanding the body and the movement of energy. Just looking up somatic sexual healing in general. I think there's an institute for somatic sexual healing. Again, I can't remember off the top of my head, but if you Google it, you'll probably encounter it. So those are some people that I know in the field who have a lot of integrity and a lot of balance with their work and a lot of efficacy. The work that they do is effective in the world. And again, there's so much integrity. In this field, there's so much harm, there's so much trauma, and there's so much abuse. I was just listening to a BBC documentary on orgasmic meditation and the One Taste organization, an expose on that. And it's absolutely horrific. So I do encourage people to be mindful and beware. Some things that look like they're really shiny and sparkly on the outside, if you start to scratch under the surface, you'll find it septic. And that's one of the reasons why we jump through the hoops to maintain our government accreditation for that accountability and that impeccability with what we offer.
Absolutely. Was there anything else that you wanted to add to our conversation today?
I just want to thank you. Thank you for inviting me. And I want to thank everyone for listening. Yeah, I really encourage people who are on a journey of healing and do feel drawn to Tantra to really do your research about the different schools and the different offerings and the different people offering the teaching. Some are amazing and some it's buyer beware. So do your research, do your homework, do your due diligence, and really trust your body. Trust your intuition and trust the messages of your body when it comes to diving in more deeply to learning this beautiful yogic practice.
I love it. I had one more question for you before we hop off. As a provider, what would be some good like cases or diagnoses to send people to or to encourage them to look into Tantra and go down that route for healing?
Yeah. So you mean if you're seeing indications in your work? Oh, so as a medical provider. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So vaginismus is an issue that has been successfully antidoted very often with tantric methods. In fact, one of our colleagues and a former member of our organization from Norway is actually a somatic psychotherapist. And she specialized in vaginal pain with women. And so she began weaving and introducing some of the methods that we teach into her clinical practice. And she's like renowned through the country now for the results. Like nobody got the results that she got. Like she would get, I think her success rate was like 90%. Like she would get a complete reversal of the root of the issue because she knew how to specifically address the root and work with the body to release what it was storing. So vaginal pain issues, premature ejaculation. Oh my God, Tantra is so phenomenal for, I love working with with men to help correct premature ejaculation, erectile dysfunction that's non-medically based, that doesn't have a medical cause. Tantra is incredible for that. And, you know, we work with people learning more about trauma. Like, we all have trauma in varying degrees. You can't get through this, come up in this society and escape trauma to one degree or another. And obviously we know that there's varying degrees of severity. So we work very successfully with people who do have, who have had a history of childhood sexual abuse or molestation or different types of physical, sexual, or emotional traumas in their earlier years or even in their later years. One of the things we're very, very careful about is ensuring that the person has gone through enough talk therapy to have tools to self-regulate themselves. So for a provider, if you're working with a client who has a history of these issues and is presenting with issues of vaginal pain or anorgasmia or sexual dissatisfaction or low libido, you can bet that the root cause of those issues are a symptom. The root, the cause of those symptoms is actually the trauma. And so if they have had a history already of talk therapy and they've kind of processed the issues intellectually, they're ready for the next level of healing, which is going to be the somatic healing. And so with Tantra, we weave, with our school, we weave that somatic healing with the energy body yoga to make it a holistic and highly effective practice.
Awesome. I will definitely have to keep that in mind more for those situations. And eventually I'll be talking about all of that on the podcast as well. Just what is vaginismus, you know, all of that. But that's a really great tool to have in the back pocket. And that's one thing that I love about doing this podcast is that I've learned so many different things that are out there that they don't teach us in school that are available for people to help.
Yeah. And so many, we've had one integrative medicine practitioner go through our training and several nurses, nurse practitioners go through our training. And they say, hands down, without a doubt, that our training program offers more instruction in human sexual functioning than they ever learned in medical school. Like, we teach about the internal erectile beds for people with vulvas and vaginas and the arousal cycle and just all of the aspects of the functioning of sexual anatomy that is not included in medical practice. And so there's this huge, awful, glaring black hole of doctors who we entrust our health to, like, don't even know as much about sexuality as their patients. Oh, and here's one other thing. Most gynecology does not recognize the cervix as an orgasm zone. The cervix is triple innervated. It's one of the most highly innervated places on the human body. And gynecology does not recognize it as an orgasm zone, and pap smears will traumatize or have the potential to traumatize your cervix and completely shut down your ability to experience cervical pleasure. So instead of experiencing cervical orgasms, many women are experiencing cervical pain instead because of common gynecological procedures, because they just refuse to acknowledge it and then talk about how the clitoris is the most densely innervated, which is not. The cervix is. So like, so much of the information that we have available in the field of sexuality is just coming from this very distorted Western lens that is very incomplete.
Yep. Or even in school, they don't even talk about the clitoris, the anatomy of the clitoris, the internal anatomy of the clitoris. Like, that's not even a conversation.
How can you not? I mean,
and the whole pelvic floor, they don't even list any of the muscles in any book. Yes.
To me, that's just malpractice. That's just irresponsible to try to be supporting people in their sexual wellness and you don't know anything about sex. Like, it's so anyway, that's why we have jobs.
Exactly. And that's why we do what we do. Exactly. So, well, thank you so, so much for joining me today. Where can the listeners find you at?
Yeah, so you can find me at AuthenticTantra.com. That is my main home on the internet. And there you can connect with all of our free offerings. We have free ebooks that you can download and then be part of our mailing list. I also have a podcast, Sex is Medicine. I've been on the air for going on 8 years now. And we have about 200 live episodes that are live and playing on Spotify and iTunes and all the places. You can sign up for notifications of those episodes each week on our website as well. We have a YouTube channel, Sex is Medicine, on YouTube. And you can Google my name, Davy Ward Erickson, if you want. And all of my stuff should show up.
Yes. And you have Instagram as well.
Yes, we do. So at Authentic Tantra on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. I'm also David Ward Tantra on social media. And my social media is really just about me as a personality. It's not about me as a brand. It's not about me trying to like promote my offerings. I show you pictures of my dog and my pool and my view. So if you want to get to know Davey intimately.
Yes. I love it. Well, thank you again. And I really appreciate you taking time out of your day to talk with me.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me.
This episode is sponsored by Pure Romance by Jordan Jones, offering top bath and beauty products and relationship enhancement items. Check out the link in the bio to start shopping today. By shopping, you are supporting this podcast. Thank you for joining today and continuing to bring awareness to women's health. If you love the show, please subscribe so you never miss another episode and leave a review for others to see. If you want to see me on the daily, you can check out my bio for links to all my pages. Be sure to share this episode with your girlfriends. Thanks again and see you next episode.